Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. We're located at 1702 Lawton Avenue in downtown Columbus, just on the edge of scenic Noblet Park. Hello, this is Jim Pursley, pastor of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church, thanking you for taking the time to listen to our audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This audio devotional sermon is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study found on our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. Please visit our website for this and other useful resources. You are listening to Lesson 20 from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 43, Parables of Soil and of Conquest. When we come to Matthew chapter 13, we come to Jesus' first parables. What is a parable? I think we all kind of can figure it out in the sense it's a story. That's exactly what it is. A parable is a story, a very short story, an interesting story, but a story with a purpose. Now, most of us grew up, I'm sure, hearing our teachers tell us that parables were to make the truth more plain. They were to make a big truth understandable. Well, to the contrary, parables were not meant to make the truth plain. But it was a method, a very good method for communicating a primary truth. Parables contain not 10 or 15 different truths. There's one point that's being driven home. One primary truth. Jesus told parables which paralleled key teachings and truth. It paralleled a key teaching and truth. Contrary to what we've been told, then, parables don't necessarily make the truth easier to grasp. One has to contemplate. You have to think. You have to pursue the truth. The truth is concealed in a parable. Taking it one step further, Jesus told his disciples that parables can either clarify truth or can hide the truth. Parables either harden the heart or soften the heart. Well, I want to know why parables. We'll begin in our study today with answering that question, or at least in part answering the question, why parables? Then we'll provide some explanation of the first parable that we have in chapter 13, of the parable of two kinds of soil. You may know it as the parable of the sower. And then the parables of conquest, some parables at the end of the chapter, which are extremely, or at the end of our study today, which are extremely helpful and encouraging. Well, Jesus told parables. Parables were not something you taught. You tell parables, you teach truth. So if he wants to be plain, and when Jesus was being plain, he taught the disciples. He taught them the truth. But when he was with the masses, when he was out on the hillsides and the people were following him and listening, he spoke in parables, which we see this mentioned all throughout Matthew. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, which we'll get to here in a little bit, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." He told stories. These stories contained great treasures hidden or concealed beneath the surface. Now, the disciples were interested in knowing why, probably like you and I are, interested in knowing why would he speak in parables instead of simply teaching the truth. But Jesus' answer is alarming, and keep in mind, this is Jesus' answer. And it alarms us, shocks us. It confronts us with a truth that I think is horrifying, but it is the answer Jesus gave. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you, but not to them." That's interesting. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you. He's speaking to his disciples and he's telling them secrets. The knowledge of the secrets, you've been given them. I've given them to you. It's pleased the Father, and we see this in Matthew 11, 25, and 26. It pleased the Father to make these things known to these men, but not to others. In other words, there are some that will hear by God's choice and according to His grace, and some that will not. In other words, parables effectively conceal the truth from people. Jesus didn't candy coat his answer. He spoke plainly to these disciples. He explained that the reason he spoke in parables was because these people had hearts that were calloused. We see this in verse 15. They had ears that were closed. They were hard of hearing. But on purpose, it's as if human beings in Jesus' time, and I would say we would find people are the same today, they stick earplugs in their ears when it comes to hearing the truth. And that's what this means. They hardly hear with their ears. They covered their ears. They closed their ears. They hardened their hearing. And their eyes are shut, it says in verse 15 of chapter 13. Eyes that were shut. They had ignored and rejected the word of the prophets. These people in Jesus' time were well familiar with the word of the prophets. They knew the promises that Messiah would be coming, yet they ignored the word of truth. They ignored the scriptures. They had Torah. They studied. They were taught. The rabbis taught them, but they were woefully resistant to the truth. At the same time, Jesus made it perfectly clear that he withheld nothing that would be helpful from the disciples. He disclosed the truth of his mission. He disclosed the scriptures to them and expounded on the meaning of them so that they would understand them. He made clear that they had been chosen to follow him. Matthew 11, 25 and 26 tell us this. Matthew 13, verse 11 tell us, we've read this already, in Matthew 13, 16, Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." They saw and they heard. Now, a word of caution is in order here. As to why Jesus spoke in parables is a very offensive teaching to some people. But these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Read verses 10 through 17 yourself. But it may be the case for you that it is offensive, which this could indicate or signal that your heart is calloused, that you've hardened your hearing, and that you have, in the same way as the people that Jesus spoke to, have been willfully shutting your eyes. But I want to challenge you, if it is offensive to you, and it could be shocking, it shocked me the first time I heard it, but I'm prone to having a calloused heart. I'm prone to having ears that are closed. I'm prone to shutting my eyes to the truth. I need to pray, and I encourage you to pray. Seek the Lord. Ask Him. Ask Him to show you the truth. Ask Him to reveal the truth. Ask Him to unveil the truth to you. I think it'd be better to beg the Lord that He would have mercy on me, mercy on you, mercy on us, that He would reveal the hidden things that He speaks of in Matthew 11, 26, and the secret things He speaks of in Matthew 13, 11, that we would beg Him to reveal these things to us so that we would hear, so that we would see, so that we would understand. We have to be careful not to let the difficult sayings of Jesus offend us and cause us to turn away in unbelief. And I think that's what is at the heart of these parables. These disciples Jesus had their heart. And when they heard these parables, what was it they did? Why do you speak in parables? Speak plainly to us. Help us to understand. When Jesus has your heart, you're going to pursue Him. He pursues you, to be sure. He pursued you first. But when He has your heart, you will pursue Him, just as these disciples did. But the crowds, for the most part, the people that heard the message, the parables, heard the message and they went on their way. How many of them lingered afterward, begging Him, "Please tell me, what did you mean by that? There's a hidden truth. I know that. Teach me." I want to be like that. Do you? Well, let's look at the parable of the two kinds of soil. Commonly, we would know it as the parable of the sower. And listen to this. This is a wonderful story. I mean, the story is great. I'll let you take the time to read it. But in this parable, we see two kinds of soil. There's productive soil and there's unproductive soils. I'll say it again. There's productive soil and there are unproductive soils. The unproductive soils, which Jesus brings to our attention in this parable, are soils that are hard, soils that are shallow, a soil that's shallow, and soil that's thorny and or weedy. That's the unproductive soil. It's hard, it's shallow, it's weedy. We can see that in daily life. You throw some garden seed out on the street, nothing's going to grow. If it does, it might hit some shallow soil, but as soon as the sun comes up and gets hot, it's going to burn up. Or if you plant some sort of a seed in soil that's choked out by weeds, it may grow up, but the weeds will choke it out. And it won't be productive, but the productive soil in the parable is simply called good soil in verse 8. Now notice the parable does not find fault with the sower or the farmer, and it doesn't find fault with the seed. Jesus made no direct reference to the sower or the seed in this parable except to say that it is a message, the seed is a message which is spoken, and it's a message which is heard. The key truth of the parable is that when a person hears the message about the kingdom of God, it grows or dies in the heart of the hearer. The message grows or dies in the heart of the hearer. If it flies over the head, if it goes in one ear and out the other, or if the message is heard, someone's sitting there listening, it's heard and they're happy to hear it, they rejoice at the good news, but soon they turn away from it. They go their own way, or if they hear the message, but so many other things in life take priority, then the message is no effect. It dies in the heart. The message lives or dies in the heart. However, for those who hear the message, and that message takes root and grows in the heart, it produces a rich harvest for the one who sowed the seed. In other words, the seed grew exactly where the farmer expected and produced exactly what the farmer expected the soil to produce. That soil was good. It was good because the farmer had prepared the soil so that when the seed landed, it would grow and it would produce good fruit or vegetables, whichever it's intended to grow. But keep in mind, the farmer prepared the soil. The soil was good because it was prepared soil. It wasn't the soil that prepared itself. So this isn't saying it's up to you and me to prepare our hearts. God prepares the soil. And you hear the message, and the message takes root and lives in that heart that has been prepared. Give glory to God. I want to encourage you. The simple fact that you're listening to this and participating in this study, reading the scripture, asking God for help, gives good indication that the message of the kingdom has been sown in good, productive soil. Stick with it, because Philippians 1:6 teaches us that he who began a good work in you, in us, will see it through to completion. He started it, he will finish it. Well, let's close out with a minute or two in the next group of parables, parables of conquest, verses 24 through 43. Here we have three parables: the parable of weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and a parable of yeast. They're all very similar at the core. And these parables indicate that the kingdom of God will prevail and conquer the kingdom of the devil. The kingdom of God will win. This is so important for us, and it's evident. It's easy to see. The parable of weeds tells us that regardless of the wicked work of the devil's servants to pollute the fields, and I take the fields to be the church. Jesus said it's the world, but we have the church in the world. And no matter how the devil tries to pollute the fields of the kingdom, that is the church, the conquest belongs to King Jesus. There will come a day when the weeds will be pulled out. There will be a separation as the church and the world is pulled out of this world, cut down together, and the good seed will be taken into the barns and the weeds will be burned. Now the parable of the mustard seed and of the yeast tell us that despite its seeming weakness and hiddenness, the smallness of a mustard seed, the smallness of yeast, despite the seeming weakness and hiddenness in the world, the kingdom of the King will permeate the whole earth. All the nations will hear this great gospel of the King, and the gospel will be a blessing to the nations. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus your sovereign King? Are you living today with a sense of defeat or victory? If he is your sovereign King, I encourage you, if you're not living with a sense of victory in Jesus, that you would pray, asking him to grant you grace, that you would live in such a way that portrays the victory of King Jesus. It's time to live in the strength of our conquering King. Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. And remember, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ.